Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of Luke chapter 5, verses 15 through 26, titled, Who Can Forgive Sins But God Alone? If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com or mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study of Luke chapter 5, verses 15 through 26, titled, Who Can Forgive Sins But God Alone? This is part 1 of 2.
We left off with Luke chapter 5, verse 14 last week, so that's why we're picking up verse 15 after a current events update. Coronavirus, also known as COVID-19, meet common sense. I just want you to understand this morning, if you're freaked out over this, please stop. Amen. Turn off your TV, turn off the social media, walk around the neighborhood, no one's dying, it's not there yet. If there comes a time to panic, put it in my hands. I'll announce it for you. The news media isn't where you go for facts and information, and you're going to be in trouble. Coronavirus is a real thing, and it's worth watching. It is far from worth having a stock market crash over. But there will be some problems because of what's going on in China and other countries and some of the things that will affect the American economy, but it shouldn't cause a Great Depression. Now, this is an example, and I want to say right off the bat, this is not a slam to Judge Jeanine or her guest, who is the Surgeon General of our racist president, a black man. Dr. Jerome Michael Adams is the Surgeon General. And I was tongue-in-cheek for those who don't get sarcasm. They claim Trump's a racist and he has black people in his administration. If Donald Trump is a racist, he's bad at it. Yeah. But anyway, this was put on during their conversation by the producers of Judge Jeanine's show. And I just want you to point out, people say Fox News is... You know, it is a good alternative to what you see in most of the TV news, but you have to test everything, no matter what news it's on. And this is put up to be a comparison. And how many of you heard the saying, apples and oranges? This is an example of what that saying means. Apples on the left, oranges on the right. On the left is the flu season, and it's not even the whole season, by the way. From 2019 to this year, and there, just the regular old flu, there have been between 32 and 45 million cases.
That's in the United States.
In this country. First, I just want you to grasp the number.
Yep.
32 to 45 million people with the flu. Jeannie will tell you, we went into urgent care with bronchitis. They didn't check to see whether we even had the flu. So it's probably not only on the high end of 45, it could be over 45 million.
Just flu.
Between 18,000 and 46,000 people died from the flu. Not coronavirus, just the flu. By the way, most of them had vaccinations. You do the math. So... who dies from flu? Usually very young, very old, and people with compromised immunity, like if they're on chemo or certain medications. And it just the regular old flu, 2018, the number I believe was, I'm not exaggerating, we just looked this up yesterday, 88,000 people died.
This is a bad year.
I mean, it's like more than Vietnam, I think. Just in the United States.
Wow.
Now, on the other side is not only, just take it at face value, You're comparing 32 to 45 million cases, million, to 85,000 confirmed cases, right? That's the whole world. That's not just America, 300 and some million people. That's among 7.5 billion people. That's the oranges. This is just in America, regular flu. The other side is, what is the math of that? It's basically 25 times more people on the right side compared to on the left. You see what I'm getting at? It's a false comparison. And even using the false comparison, there's no comparison. The coronavirus is still a tiny little problem unless you freak out. And that's what we call misinformation. Amen. Coronavirus has yet to show potential of even coming close to just the annual flu. It's bottom line. You want to freak out about something? We're all going to die. No! Why? Because of the flu, not coronavirus. If you want to freak out, now you shouldn't. There's 325 million or so people in this country, and you know, 80,000 in 2018 was a lot of people, but percentage-wise, it's a very small percentage of the population. You're being played by the media. Why? Because then you freak out, and you got to watch and watch and watch, and they make money, money, money off of the advertisements. Ratings, ratings, ratings. They're making merchandise of you. The real stats.
Works about 25%
of the time. Yeah, but let's come back to that. Okay. This is actual CDC statistics. Okay? 29 million to 41 million people have had the flu since October.
In the United States.
Just the flu in the United States. 280 to half a... That's a half a million, yeah. Have been hospitalized. Just think of the numbers you're hearing for coronavirus. You're hearing dozens, in some countries hundreds of people getting sick. There's a total, well, we'll come back to that in a second. Flu deaths since October is somewhere between 16,000 and 41,000, just since October. Comparing regular old flu to coronavirus in America. 41 million have gotten the flu. 69 coronavirus. Can you just look at the difference. 40,999,931 more cases of the flu.
69, that is still U.S., right?
Just U.S. 41,000 have died of the flu since October. One American has died with the coronavirus. Please understand me. 6 weeks, 6 months from now, maybe I'll be up here saying, the sky is falling. You know, I may do that. If that time comes, I'll admit, now's the time to panic. But don't let people freak you out right now over this stuff. And as soon as you see people trying to do that, take note of who you're watching. They're con men. Turn them off. And it's on all over the YouTube. We tried to tell people, Jade Helm 15, how do you remember that? And the Walmarts being turned into concentration camps. Remember that? Some of you do.
Yeah.
The same people who did that are still out there saying this, you know, freaking everybody out about coronavirus. And I'm sorry, if you're dumb enough to keep watching those people, you deserve what you get.
Yeah.
You want to freak out? Some people like to freak out. But as Christians, we're supposed to love the truth.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
What's wrong with a Christian who loves a lie?
Yeah.
There's something wrong.
Amen.
And I just, over and over. And also the other thing, I made the little video yesterday about it, if you saw it, but Donald Trump said that the Democrat claims that his administration should have asked for more money and aren't doing the right thing is a hoax. All these mentally handicapped journalists in ABC, NBC, CBS, and the Fox News guy, Spunt was his name, I think. We was kind of noted his name. have no common sense. Yeah. And they, that or they're flat out liars. And they said, don't you regret using the word hoax to describe the coronavirus? He said, I didn't describe the coronavirus as a hoax. I described the Democrat claims against my administration as a hoax. Yeah. You see the difference?
Yeah.
How many remember? Trump called all Mexicans rapists. Remember that? Then you go back and listen to what he actually said. He said Mexico's sending us their rapists. So over and over and over, if I don't get succeed in doing anything else, it's to wake at least a few Christians up to the fact that the news media in this country is a joke.
Amen.
And we should be, Christians should be at the head of the game identifying it.
Amen.
We should have spiritual discernment. And from the Word of God, but also the Spirit of Truth
before
is in
I
us.
Move on,
Stephen
if you're a
made
Christian,
a comment,
the Spirit of Truth
and then during the prayer was raptured. But he made a comment I want to refer to, and that is that the vaccines. We are. I always have to say this because people are stupid, and so they'll hear me say the stuff I said just a minute ago and go around telling everybody we're anti-vaccine. I am not anti-vaccine. This church has never said we're anti-vaccine. What we are is anti-lies,
Amen.
And we want you to know the truth.
Amen.
You get shot up with the vaccine, it only works about 25% of the time. It's filled with adjuvants that can make you sicker.
Yep.
It is triggering autoimmune responses in people, among other things. Shoot it up at your own risk. We don't tell anybody not to get a vaccine, but
Amen.
We're just sick of the lies.
Amen.
I want to know the truth. And so then you can do with it what you want. You know, we're not against money, but the Federal Reserve is criminal.
Yep.
And your paper money is worthless.
Amen.
It's all based on a rumor, and once that rumor blows up, your paper money is going to be as good as Confederate money.
Yep.
And the love of money is the root of all evil.
Amen.
So, does that mean I'm anti-money? No, I got some in my pocket, and I use it every day. So let's get into this. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Luke 5, 15 to 26. And it's kind of a basic overview we want to do of this text, but we're going to zero in on what I believe is the main point of the text. After healing the leper, you remember that? The fame of Jesus continued to grow. That's what we're going to see in the first two verses here in Luke 5, beginning verse 15. And so read both of those verses with me. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We're actually going to stop and read this in like three different sections. There in verse 15, the example of Jesus was to be humble and rely on the power of God's Spirit. Today, in the ministry, what's called the ministry today, most of the time, you'd come in to, we would call this, instead of Bible Believers Fellowship, we'd come up with some snazzy name, and that wouldn't emphasize anything the Bible emphasizes for the most part. And then the pastor, the face would be on everything, and you'd have my this face, and they'd have T-shirts made up. That's an inside joke you have to explain to the visitors later on. And but you, when I hope I don't hurt anybody's feelings, but the people who rented this place before us, before we moved in, had a big banner up here, and it was a picture of the pastor and his wife, And then our website would be ReverendGregMiller.com, and. I would sell my books, and if you paid another $25, I'd sign them. That kind of thing. I got one. But you never see Jesus self-promoting.
Amen.
He said, I came to glorify my Father.
Amen.
Now, he did say the Spirit of Truth would come, and he would lead us into all truth, and he would speak of who? Jesus. But that's the model. Of course, Proverbs tells us, I'll give you the Greg Miller paraphrase, don't toot your own horn, let somebody else toot it.
That's right.
Amen. You know, one of the biggest problems among Christians today is, I'm so spiritual. And it's like, you know, instead of, I'd like to introduce you to Jesus Christ, instead it's, I'd like you to know how spiritual I am. That's a real problem. Now, I'm not talking about preachers there. I'm talking about in the rank and file. So verse 15 then continues, and after he's, fame is spreading and he's becoming, you know, he's gone viral. And great multitudes have come to hear him and to be healed. And then verse 16 says what? So he went on a book tour, right? Is that what verse 16 says in your Bible? He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. See, if you just, you know, you can't help if people get to know what you're doing. But let God deal with that. Let God be the one to open people's eyes if he wants people to notice you. Otherwise, don't talk about yourself. And I've said this and I'll say it over and over till the Lord comes back or takes me out. Don't talk about me. Don't talk about the church. People don't need Bible Believers Fellowship or Greg Miller. Amen. What do people need? They need Jesus Christ and they need to believe that book.
Amen.
And people are not hearing enough about Jesus and what he's done, and they're being robbed of their faith in his book. Our whole purpose here is to introduce people to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, the church is for saved people.
Amen.
When we go out, we don't go around saying, come to our church, you're going to love it. We've got a Keurig, and we've got donuts, and we got a guy who brings in White Castle every once in a while even. Man, you're going to love it.
Amen.
That's how most people witness. Their idea of witnessing is, you love our church. You'll never have to worry about the preacher making you feel uncomfortable by preaching against your sin.
Yeah.
I mean, they won't say it in those words, but that's how they advertise it.
Yeah.
My message is, you better watch out. You're going to come in here, especially if you're not saved.
Amen.
You're liable to get your feelings hurt.
Yeah.
And if you're a backslidden Laodicean, I mean, it's almost every time I say the word queer. You're such a hater. Let me tell you something. Queers call themselves queer. You know why you don't call them queer? Because you're a slave to the queers. You have submitted to them. They are telling you what to say and what to think. Shame on you for being a coward. Get a spine and stand up and say, hey, you don't want to be called a queer? Stop calling yourselves queer. And you know what they did? They rewrote the language and came up with the word homosexual. Just like George Orwell said they would. What do we, you know, most of the time, not always, but most of the time, I just call them sodomites.
Yep.
You say, you're a hater. Am I a hater when I call a thief a thief? Is that hate? You notice how that changes? If you call somebody a thief and they're a thief, no one gets hurt, their feelings hurt. They only start getting their feelings hurt when you start stomping on their sin.
Yep.
And their sin may not be being a homosexual, but it'll be they're in love with the whole Sodom thing like Lot's wife.
Yep.
And just yesterday, some lady come on there saying, I liked what you said until you used the word queer. You should love people and not hate. Well, you're a liar. I don't hate anybody.
Amen.
Some of you have seen how I've tried to minister to the homosexuals.
Yeah. Amen.
I'll tell you why you don't see me a lot, because they don't want it. You can't force somebody. They have to repent.
Yep.
And if they won't repent, you can't minister to them.
Amen.
But you take any homosexual alive today who will repent of their sin, just like a thief ought to repent of their sin, a liar ought to repent of their sin, an adulterer ought to repent of their sin, name the sin, repent of that sin, walk through that door, you will be as welcome here as anybody else in the room.
Amen.
You may still even talk a little fruity. You know what we'll do? We'll pick on you just like we do everybody else. And we'll say, come on now. Get rid of that limp handshake of yours and handshake like a man now. You know? Yeah, that's what we'll do. But it won't be out of hate. It'll be out of love, just like we pick on everybody in the room.
Yeah.
Families do that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so follow the model of Jesus and preach about Jesus. Jesus didn't self-promote, but when he preached about the fact that he came to die. He came to pay for our sin. He He announced beforehand that he was going to be crucified, buried, and risen again.
Amen.
That's what we preach.
Amen.
It's not about self-promotion or church promotion.
Amen.
And think about this. If Jesus prayed, how much the more ought we to pray? You say, well, Jesus, we're going to see in a moment, Jesus was God.
Yep.
Jesus is God, was God, always has been, always will be God.
Amen.
Jesus is eternal. Anyone who denies the eternal sonship of God is a heretic. Jesus has always been the Son of God. He's always been divine. He is from everlasting. But when he came as a man, the Bible talks about how he emptied himself of his glory and became like one of us, like a man. He was still completely God, but he was 100% man. And so what did he do? He relied on the power of prayer and the power of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
In his life. And I always have to say this, I'm not standing up here saying, oh, and I've arrived, and oh, if you could only be like me. You know. No, I'm preaching at me and you, all of us.
Amen.
So often we fail because we fail to bring God into his rightful place and to pray about things and allow his Spirit to lead. So after Jesus got away from the crowd and he went off alone to pray, that's why I tell people, if you call me, leave a voicemail, because I may or may not be praying, but I may just need some time to deflate, to be alone, or I might be on the phone with somebody else or whatever. But if your call is important, leave a voicemail, send me a text, and I'll call you back.
Amen.
Jesus, he didn't have to worry about cell phones.
Amen.
But if he had one, when he got alone to pray, I guarantee he'd turned it off. And that might be something you need to think about. Maybe the reason your prayer life, your Bible study life isn't what it is because you don't turn your phone off.
Yeah. Amen.
Turn it off, man. You're not the president. The call can wait. Amen?
Amen?
Some of you aren't convinced. So look at verse 17 now, and let's read 17 through 21. I want you to read the odd numbered verses with me. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man, which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst there before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Of course, that's where we got our title for this study. In that last verse there. Verse 17, though, you look again. What are we introduced to here? Pharisees and doctors of the law. We'll come back to the Pharisees in our next study, but suffice it to say that religious leaders have always been one of Satan's greatest weapons against believers.
Amen.
Religious leaders have been enemies of Bible-believing people throughout church history, but even throughout all of history when you get right down to it. I just want to say this. When it says doctors of the law, it's religious law. So it's the equivalent of someone with like a PhD or doctor so-and-so in the pulpit. Now, if a man earns a doctorate, I don't have a problem with a fellow, especially when he's selling books or whatever, he wants to put Dr. So-and-so. That's his business. But if you got a doctorate and you're a pastor, that doctorate wasn't a doctorate in pastoring.
Amen.
And that's why I believe that if you're a pastor, you should call yourself pastor.
Amen.
And drop the doctor for other applications. Because it's like, okay, let's say you're a doctor of veterinary medicine. But then you also treat people as an EMT on an ambulance. And then someone says, oh, he's you're in good hands. He's a doctor. You're not an animal.
Amen.
So his specialty is being a doctor of animals. He probably has been trained as an EMT, but that's not the same as being trained as a doctor for people, a medical doctor.
Amen.
See the
Amen.
Point there?
Amen.
And so I think there's a big problem with a lot of guys get up there, and when they use that doctor so-and-so when they're in the pulpit, it's another example of them trying to think, you're a peon, check your brain, I'm your brain, you need me. And that's anti-ministry. That's the opposite of what any real preacher is up here to do. What I'm up here to do and any real preacher is up here to do at any time they're preaching the word is to build your knowledge and faith in the book.
Amen.
So that you can now read your Bible every day of the week and understand it better.
Amen.
And if all I'm doing is showing you how smart I am, in the Hebrew, blah, blah, blah. And you need me. Look at that. You probably believed what you read in your Bible. Silly nut. If you knew what I know, you'll know that that's a very unfortunate translation. A better rendering would be, that's a cocky, arrogant punk.
Amen.
I don't care what his name is, or her name, as we talked about. There's some females in the... Doesn't matter.
Yep.
That's cocky, it's arrogant, and it's not biblical ministry.
Amen.
And I hope, if you pay attention, if you will take part in our Sunday school, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and if you miss it, catch it online, and read your Bible every day, God will bless you.
Amen.
You will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Right.
You can't say that about you can't say that about many ministries today.
Yep. Right.
Most of the ministries, all you'll do is end up buying a series of DVDs and books and things and making $19.95 monthly installments and learning a bunch of secret keys and this and that and still come away not knowing the Bible. Those are the religious leaders of our day. Just think about this real quick. Remember Pharaoh's priests?
Yep.
Yeah, they were a big problem for Moses and the Hebrews.
Yep.
Balaam?
Yep.
Remember Balaam and his ass?
Yep.
He wasn't married. I'm talking about his ass. He rode. Okay. I thought that was funny, but you didn't get it, so we'll move on. Eli and his sons. Eli, remember?
Yep.
And his sons.
Yep. Yep.
They were fornicating on temple grounds.
Yep.
And Eli wouldn't do anything about it.
Yep.
And he didn't want to jeopardize his position. Jezebel's priests. Remember Jezebel? She's in a lot of churches today. And tries to kill the real preachers.
Yep.
Just like Jezebel. The Chaldean philosophers, remember? Who tried to get Daniel thrown in the lion's den and eaten alive?
Yep.
And who ended up being dinner?
Yep.
Them and their families.
Yeah.
And who tried to get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fried?
Yep.
Thrown in the furnace? When Jesus showed up, there was already an apostate Jewish priesthood. They were basically in bed with Rome. Caiaphas. Then, you think of this, but Judas Iscariot. He was an apostle. How many millions of Christians did there have? You know, there were only 13 apostles chosen by the Lord directly, including Paul in Acts chapter 9. And then there were a few others that were recognized as apostles by the early church. But